Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
We are bringing you another episode in our 12-part series called Turning Struggles into Triumphs, Parenting Through Learning Challenges.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's interview. Have a great day.
Well, hello, Katie. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are welcome. We are just so excited to hear a little bit more about your experiences, and hopefully that will be something that will be heard by another parent and influence or help them kind of move forward with following their gut. So first, tell us a little bit about the struggles that you observed prior to any diagnosis on any of your children. You know, what did you observe as far as educational struggles and or behavioral struggles?
Okay. Well, I have three children with learning differences, each with a particular different type. We observed, first of all, my elder child who is bio, he was premature. And we were told that with prematurity, sometimes things come up. And I'm also dyslexic, so I knew what to look for with his education. And So when we started his education journey, which when he was really young, we could tell that he was very hyper, very excited about lots of things. But he didn't exhibit any of the typical ADHD stuff yet until that he got a little older. So about 7 years old, we decided, yes, that's when we were going to get him observed or diagnosed, and so that he can continue with his education in a better manner. And we found out that he was dyslexic and had ADHD, and his ADHD was causing a lot more issues with his dyslexia because he could not focus on what he needed to focus on. My youngest actually took a different journey. We didn't think that he was having any issues until he was about second grade. And a lot of the other kids were really pushing forward in their reading. And he was still far behind. We had put him in a reading recovery in his school, a public school. And we really were trying to get him diagnosed with the school. But unfortunately, they came back only with one diagnosis, that he had ADHD. And I wasn't truly convinced. I was like, well, I'm not quite sure that's the reason, because I believe that he's having a lot of educational issues and that's causing him not to focus and have attention because he can't read and he can't understand letters. And I was like, this seems like a dyslexic situation for me. And so that's why when we came to you guys, we said, okay, these are the things that we are seeing, and these are the things that they're saying. I wouldn't be opposed to saying it's on top of it, but he needs to have a full evaluation that is not going to take us a year.
Right.
So when we got back, he did get the right diagnosis of dyslexia and dysgraphic and ADHD and anxiety. So all of these things all kind of came together, and we knew that it wasn't just one diagnosis, that he had multiple layers that we needed to go through.
That's unfortunate, that, and I do hear that often. As soon as a school staff member, teacher, administrator, counselor, interventionist, you know, finds out a child has a diagnosis of ADHD, they oftentimes assume that all of their struggles are related to the ADHD. And even after going through formal testing and the testing scores maybe even showing deficits or weaknesses, they still are attributing it to being ADHD related.
Right.
So it is interesting. I think definitely there are times where ADHD causes learning difficulties and can impact academic progress. But sometimes it's like you got to look at the whole picture and look at everything individually and which one is impacting reading the most, or which one is impacting writing the most, which one is impacting focus, attention, work completion, other types of things. So I'm so glad that you were able to seek out a private evaluation and get, you know, a very thorough assessment that identified him appropriately. So I'm curious, he was struggling in reading and you said that he was working with a reading specialist. So the school had recognized at least that he was behind in reading and he was struggling with reading, or did you have to fight for that intervention?
Actually, I had recommended it when he was in first grade. He went through the program the first time and it didn't do anything. And then we went through the next year and it didn't do anything. And I was talking to the reading assessor. I was talking to the one who was actually doing the reading recovery program. And I was like, this is not right. Something is definitely wrong. We need to figure out what it is. And she was like, yes, I think he's got dyslexia. And I was like, I do too. I as well do that. I'd also think that. And then we came back and I was like, okay, for that whole year with the school, they assessed him for a whole year, and I could not believe it that they came back with that diagnosis. I was like, no, I'm sorry. You are your child's advocate. You have to be, because if you aren't going to do it, no one else is going to do it. So that's why we did seek out private diagnosis, because I believe taking the time and saying, you know what? There's got to be more underlying, because we know that ADHD is an umbrella and it's actually an upside down umbrella, because it keeps and holds all of the things that require you to look at. And so we knew this. And the reason why we knew this is because, again, I'm dyslexic. My father's dyslexic, and we're very talented. We are actually very accomplished, and it doesn't mean just because you have a learning difference that you're not going to accomplish things in your life.
That's true.
And so I wanted to instill that into my children and say, listen, just because you got the diagnosis, now we know how to work with it. It's not going to enable you to, it's going to enable you to do better things. If you know what you're hardest things are that you can accomplish first and then go through it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And if you don't know what the issue is or what is causing the most difficulties, or what I would say, quote unquote, label, what the label is or the diagnosis or the term, then you also don't know the most appropriate interventions and supports to put in place. So like, you know, he was going through reading recovery, probably with a, you know, a reading specialist that maybe even had a master's degree in reading and lots of knowledge and experience and expertise in reading. However, research has shown that dyslexic brains still have to learn in a very specific manner. And that's why there are many research-based curriculum programs out there that are specifically for dyslexia intervention. So, you know, going through just regular old reading recovery, being taught the same thing, the same way, even in a one-on-one or small group setting, is not always the best thing for an individual with dyslexia. So I'm really glad that you went with your gut and you advocated for your kiddos. So I'm curious. So once you finally, sought out private testing, you had the evaluation, you got the diagnoses, did you share it with the school, and how did they respond to it, and what types did they put any supports in place?
I was done with public school for both my children. So I pulled them both out and we started homeschooling, and we worked with curriculums that are, I think it's called Orem-Gilliam.
You're close. Yes, Orton Gillingham.
I think that's right.
Yep, you're very, very close. Sorry. Yep, that's okay. Orton Gillingham based. Those are dyslexia programs. Mm-hmm.
But we also went through the Scottish Rites for dyslexia. We also had actually a private tutor that administrated all of the, I think it's called Upward, but it's that based just for children with differences in mm-hmm. dyslexia.
Okay.
And so from there, we also had private people with his dysgraphia. Mm-hmm. We went through another training, and he graduated from there. And he also, finally, we put him into a private school that has offered all of the amazing things. It is a private school for children that have learning differences, strictly, that have also, that are gifted, and they have different levels, and they do their own curriculum based for that child.
Hmm.
And he's also got intervention. Both children have got intervention with dyslexia through, it's called ALT. Mm-hmm. And they both graduated from that as well.
Wonderful.
So they're working super hard.
That's awesome.
I'm very, very proud of my children.
I bet you should be. It sounds like they're thriving. That's wonderful.
They are.
And I forgot to ask, so going back for a moment to the evaluation process, what was that process like for you? And when you got the results, how did you feel about those results, you know? Because some of them confirmed things you suspected, and some of them brought out other things that you maybe didn't suspect.
You're correct. I actually was quite relieved and validated because I knew something else was going on with both my boys. I knew it wasn't just a little bit or just a blanket. And so when we did receive the diagnosis, it was a big relief. And we were able to take that information and get the appropriate help that my children needed. And that's what made me feel so much more relieved, is that now I can give you the guidance and prepare you for the life that you should be living, and not just hold you back
mm-hmm.
one grade or something.
Right.
And try harder, kid.
Right.
It's not a try harder, kid. It's you need to learn in a different way. Let's get you the tools so that you can learn in that way.
That's
right. Is appropriate for you. And so I was very relieved, and I felt that this was not going to only prepare them, but prepare me as a parent as well.
Yeah.
So that I could adjust my understanding, not only my expectations, but my understanding is where are we at and how can we move forward and how can I parent better so that my children can get the best of me
mm-hmm.
so they can be the best of them.
Right.
So they could be the best of them.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so happy that it was a good experience and that it was validating for you, and kind of that you were open to, okay, now maybe I need to change my mindset a little bit as far as the way I teach them or what my expectations are or the way I explain things or making sure that they do have the skills they need to be as successful as they possibly can and to thrive regardless of their learning differences and challenges. I think that's wonderful. And I'm so glad. Would you say they're doing well now and doing much better than they were prior to being diagnosed with learning differences?
Absolutely. 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 When you find that you have a certain difference that needs to be addressed, like I said, you can always say, all right, this isn't working, so let's try this. And nothing's in concrete. So if it doesn't work, you can try something else until it does fit. When my children were in homeschooling, we had the ability to go and do lots of things. We also took our time. We didn't have to rush through, and we didn't have a schedule when it came to this is when you need to do it. So like testing and all of that stuff. But now that they're in private school, they're making A's and B's. But their self-esteem of doing the things that they know they can accomplish at the level that they can accomplish is priceless.
Priceless.
Because
right.
if you can't build that self-esteem, it is, it's priceless. If you can't build that self-esteem and knowing that, yes, I can succeed. Yes, I have some hurt. I have some struggles. I have hurdles. But if I do it this way, I can accomplish it. And look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been amazing. All three of my boys have thrived in this school. And we couldn't ask for more. We really couldn't.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. That's so wonderful. And I think it's great that you've helped them understand why some things are more challenging for them than it might be for their peers. You've given them the tools to be successful, to, you know, level their playing field. And that self-esteem piece, that is huge. And like you said, it's priceless. You can't teach that. You can't teach self-esteem. And once you've struggled in school and you are starting to realize that things are much harder for you than the kids sitting around you, it affects your self-esteem and, of course, your love of learning and could change your trajectory, I believe, for your whole educational career. So not only did you intervene appropriately to help them get the appropriate, you know, interventions that they need for their learning challenges, you made sure that they were being successful and experiencing successes and so that they could develop good, strong self-esteem. So I'm so happy that they're thriving and feeling good and that their self-esteem is up there, top notch. That's so great. So if Katie, if you had to recommend to another parent that has seen their child experience struggles or similar difficulties, do you have anything that you would recommend?
I think there are several things, actually. If you are in a public school setting, I would recommend that you definitely get an outside source to evaluate your child. And if you are in a public school, you need to have an advocate by your side. And these are lawyers who also understand your rights as a parent and as a parent with children who have differences, to get an advocate so that they can help you walk through the 504, so they can help you go through all of the meetings, and so that they can record and help you navigate this, because it is, you need to know your rights. And you need to know what your children need and be implemented in school in the public setting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do recommend always to be your child's advocate as well. If you are seeing there isn't something connecting, or, okay, he's seeing things that aren't necessarily, shouldn't be there, like switching your D's and B's and your E's and A's and things. And if you're not seeing that in early stages of your education, let's say pre-K, let's say kindergarten, if they're not able to see their alphabets in a formal, necessary way, be your child's advocate. Say, okay, what's going on? How can I help? And don't just allow the teachers to be the ones to advocate for your children, because they're not going to be able to. They have 24 kids in their class. So you have to do it.
That's right.
So,
and you will, and also you have that strong mama gut. I feel like
absolutely.
You followed that gut, and your gut was right.
I also believe that lots of mothers who are very maternal and very connected to their children have that ability to say, something's not exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're super, super hyper. Something's, why are you super hyper about this? Or if you ask questions and you start to feel like, something isn't quite going, something's not working here, then go with the gut. Always seek out help. Don't be afraid to seek out help, because you don't know everything, and it's okay to not know everything. And if you do find out something is going on, and if you do have a diagnosis that you're not prepared for, as a parent, it is your responsibility to prepare yourself to prepare your children. So make sure you're doing your research. Do some outside sourcing, get mm-hmm. a support group, get some friends that maybe have somebody who's got a learning difference. Ask someone. If you need help, don't feel alone. it is can be an isolating thing for a parent and a very hard thing to accept that your child maybe not be neurotypical. Your child might be neurodivergent, and accepting that and saying, okay, having that understanding also prepares you to be a better parent and also prepares you to be that child's parent, not right. just everyone's child's parent, your child's parent.
Exactly.
So I recommend research, find out more about what you can do, seek out the help, get a support group, and trudge on. And don't feel like you're so isolated, because there are so many people out there who are successful,
yes.
that are neurodivergent. And your child is going to be one of them. I guarantee it.
Oh, wonderful advice, Katie. I appreciate that so much. And I think our listeners will too. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your experiences and your story and your advice. We really appreciate it.
I had a great time. Thank you for interviewing me.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.